Welcome to the ADHD Alchemy Podcast, where women with ADHD finally feel seen, understood, and unapologetically themselves. If you have ever felt like you're too much and not enough all at the same time, you're in the right place because that's the alchemy, learning how both come together to make something priceless. I'm Jessica Covington, holistic ADHD coach and fellow fancy brain, and I'm really glad you're here. Let's get into it. Welcome to ADHD Alchemy. It's more than just a podcast. It's also my signature coaching program at Fitology. I built it for bright, sensitive women who are tired of feeling scattered and chaotic and ready to feel calm, clear, and finally in control. Inside the program, whether it's group or private, you'll finally drop the mask and start thriving. Together, we'll learn new ways to prioritize, give your interest-based nervous system exactly what it needs, and begin redefining ADHD on your own terms. In just a few weeks, you'll find yourself grounded, confident, and leading your life with intention by learning to work with your fancy brain instead of against it. This is where your too much becomes your magic and where real lasting change begins on day one. So if that speaks to you, find more at fitology.com. That link, of course, will be in the show notes. Today, we have with us Alyssa Moorhead, whose company helps personal brands and small businesses grow by getting new leads, podcasts and speaking engagements, and killer social media content. She was able to explode her own business just through Instagram stories and DMs, and over the past 10 years has helped hundreds of clients build businesses by understanding that selling is really just about helping people. As an NYU graduate, she's been everything from a food critic to a startup consultant, learning exactly how business really works along the way. And lucky for us, she has a particular expertise in making business work with our mental health and nervous systems. So Alyssa, welcome, and thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Jessica. I'm excited to chat. Most of the women in my communities are ADHD women as well. So we're all in good company, and it has a massive impact on our lives and our businesses. So I'm super excited to chat it up.
Absolutely. Well, I'd love to start with the story of how you came to your ADHD diagnosis in adulthood.
What a story. Yes, I will try to make it concise. But so Jessica and I were just chatting about this before we got on to the podcast. So I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, and then I moved to New York City. I went to NYU. I was there for 12 years, and I struggled with substance abuse, which I mentioned too in this podcast, because after going through recovery, I have learned from all of the support circle that I had that a lot of the substance abuse and mental health issues, the depression, the apathy, the anxiety, and the substance abuse, a lot of it was untreated ADHD and mental health. So I mentioned that because I think there are a lot of people that struggle with ADHD and want the thoughts to stop, and we look for ways to slow it down, and they may or may not be healthy ways. So I moved home to Louisville, Kentucky a little over three years ago. I got sober and really started getting my health together, which meant learning lots of things that were surprises. One of those was me going into my therapist's office and getting diagnosed with ADHD because I told her my thoughts were racing and I couldn't focus and I had 97,000 things to do and I wouldn't stop talking. And finally, she just held her hands up and said, "Have you ever taken an ADHD diagnosis test?" And I was like, "Well, no." And she was like, "Good. Well, that got you to pause and think for a minute." So she had me take the test and it was a yes. And then we went from there. But I'm really excited to talk with you guys today because learning that I've had ADHD, and Jessica and I have gotten to know each other a little bit and talked about this today even, but learning that I had ADHD changed the trajectory of my life and my career. I'm able to function on a level I never would have heard, I never would have thought of. And also, let's give some credit to AI. That's really helped organize my ADHD thoughts as well. But the combination of different tools, even knowing that if I wake up at 5:07 a.m. and my thoughts are racing and I can't stop, that I can brain dump into this tool and collect it into something actually productive. These are the tasks, these are the mini tasks, this is the order to do them. Like, that's so helpful. So that's when I learned. I'm 33. I learned at about 30 is when I was diagnosed with ADHD. And for many reasons, the last 3 years have been the best of my life. So it's an integral part of it. The more we learn about our health and our mental health, ADHD included, like, the education is power for us.
Yeah, that is
Yeah.
so true. And you told
Yeah.
me earlier about learning you had ADHD redesigned the way that you rest and work and even how you hire people. Can you say a little bit more about that?
Yes, yeah, definitely. So in terms of, like, I think if you're a female entrepreneur or any entrepreneur, you're familiar with the concept of the morning routine. It's a very touted concept. It's very commonly discussed in entrepreneurial circles, probably in ADHD and also in mental health circles, and certainly for me as well, and in recovery. It's, if anyone listening knows about recovery, whether that's AA, NA, any different programs, there's a book called Miracle Morning that's very well known, and it talks about making your morning routine. So literally starting from what I do beginning of the day with the morning routine. I have ADHD, which means it can be very hard to stick to habits. I would argue picking one habit, making the habit, sticking with it for the 30 plus days it gets to stick was very challenging for me. And so that's one of the ways that the ADHD originally impacted me, is I tried to redesign my morning routine. And so I'm a more is more person. So I decided that I would put 14 things into my routine. But they weren't really 14 because there was 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and then they had 6 steps within each of them. Like, it was just crazy. It was going to be like 3 or 4 hours for a morning routine every morning. So, like, learning with the ADHD, I continually adjust, like, what tasks I do first. I think really, the ADHD has made me continually evaluate energy as well as time. Now I know things like when I'm making my morning routine, when I'm making my work schedule, I know when I'm going to have what type of energy, and I know how to utilize it best. So, for a real world example, my morning routine looks like I wake up very early now because I'm 33 and sober and committed to working and scaling my business. So I wake up at 5:07 a.m. every morning with no alarm. That's just to the minute that it is. And I'm petting my cat and making coffee. And that's what I'll do first, is fill up a giant bottle of water, make a coffee, and then go wash my face with some freezing cold water and take my mental health medications for bipolar 2, anxiety, depression, and ADHD. And I mentioned those because all of those diagnoses really are a part of my ADHD, like, full picture. They, integrate with one another. But now my morning routine looks like trying to get some movement in and doing some stretches, and then I will meditate and pray. I'm spiritual, not religious, but I will do some movement and stretches, or maybe yoga. Then I'll do some meditations and prayer, and then I'll read and I will write. But I continually fastidiously change what order I do that morning routine to make the energy most productive. I've learned lately with ADHD that if there's too much going on in my brain, there can be like motivation and energy for it, and then it can just like change on a dime. So I'm trying to like ride the waves, but not rely on that. I'm trying to ride the waves of motivation because with the ADHD, it makes it a lot easier for me to get things done. But sometimes there's no waves of motivation, which is when we just have to rely on the discipline and the habits. But yeah, so that's one way I would say it's just really made me hypercognizant, maybe too much, a little bit of the time, of where my energy is at and what to do with it. Like, I can get overstimulated and have a lot of mental energy and be writing proposals and negotiating these sales contracts. But then eventually, I'm going to lose that focus if I don't use physical energy as well. It's just an ongoing, you're already getting an ADHD picture of me talking, trying to figure out what's going on in the fancy brain. It's wild in there, guys. Yeah, they know.
Wow. There is not to poke fun, but there are so many nuggets of wisdom in what you just said. I mean, I noticed that your morning routine includes all four elements of the alchemy that I work with in coaching. You've got your movement, you've got your nutrition, you've got your metacognition and mindfulness, and you've got some built-in systems and habits,
Yeah.
which is amazing. And I
Took a
really
long time. It took a long time to stick with it. I was going to say, too, for anybody, and we can talk about this as well, for anybody that takes any kind of ADHD medication, because I'm sober, I don't take any addictive medications. So I don't take Adderall. Because it can be addictive, but I do take one called Strattera. So I found and educated myself on it some and talked to my, medical team. I found that, everybody, the generation below me, Gen Z, loves to talk about protein and how many grams of protein they're getting. But I've realized that with the ADHD and the medications for it, that I'm way more focused in the morning if I just eat like straight protein. Like straight protein and water and coffee. So that's one little piece of the nutrition too. And then if you have ADHD and you're like doing things, I have to stop myself from doing things and go take the time to make myself this tiny breakfast. But it's the small things that make a huge difference for how we can perform.
That's so true. So
Yeah.
true. I really love that phrase that you said as well, that you try to ride but not rely on the waves of motivation. That's
Yeah.
gold right there.
Thank you. Thank you.
That idea of having some kind of framework to start with to give you enough strength to A, to get started, and B, to keep going, but then allowing the flexibility and the creativity in some ways to change and to flip that around as needed is absolutely brilliant.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
So in the scope of your work, helping people grow their businesses by wisely using social media and getting these speaking placements, how do you see ADHD affecting business owners and their ability to do all of the scaling the way that they want?
Oh my gosh. I think like anybody running a business has a degree of ADHD. And I don't want to use the term too loosely. Like ADHD is serious, not bad, but it's serious. But if we talk about like attention deficits, just those two words on their own, there's a lot happening in the world in case we haven't noticed. Like there's a whole lot going on right now. We all have attention deficits, if not it actually being like a full disorder. I think attention and focus are challenging for all of us, specifically for an entrepreneur and sole business owner, because we have to rotate between all of these tasks. And if you have ADHD, rotating between tasks can be productive or incredibly challenging. It just depends on the hour of the day for me, really. So lots of different things. I'll go back to the routine because it kind of categorizes what I've found to be most effective. I think that time blocking is probably overused and underrated. I think that people talk about it over and over again, and the idea of putting like cute colored blocks on our calendar sounds really fun to the point that like people aren't doing it. But it's incredibly impactful for me, and I've mucked with that for years too. Like, should I time block every individual task? Should I time block big focus and client works? Like, I messed with that and messed with that, but really, I find with ADHD, if you build the habits long enough, you stop thinking about them. So now my routine, we'll go back for a minute. I think most business owners struggle with that kind of goes towards ADHD and focus issues. To speak on it from a sales perspective, A, we have to have sales into our business to keep them running, period. If you want your business to live, then you have to be making sales. Might not need to be today, might not need to be next month, sometime this year, you're going to need somebody to pay you for something. So our businesses need sales to be sustainable. But most business owners, our, fiduciary agreement is to take care of our clients. What we're, signing up for is that we provide a service and we take care of the people we're providing it to. And we forget that at the same time, you have to be balancing and juggling, which can be challenging for ADHD people, managing a business, potentially managing a small team, and also getting new business. So what female business owners I work with that have ADHD deal with is, when do we make the time? Which is a really important question. When do we make the time for sales? And I'm going to be really specific here about language. I'm talking about conversations, like lead generation conversations, where Jessica and I, as an example, like if Jessica is my lead, she and I are in the DMs or in an email or on a call, and we're talking about working together. That's what I mean by lead generation and lead management. You're talking to somebody that might want to work with you. But that's not usually what happens when entrepreneurs do make time for sales. What they do is market, and we forget to have conversations. But the when to go back to it is super, super important. What usually happens when we wake up is we go into kind of a habitual flow. So the female entrepreneurs I work with like might have their morning routine. Most of us then are checking emails, then we'll go to admin work and client work. And this is really similar for me too, but before I even get to emails, I answer my leads. I don't just answer my DMs, my emails where there are some people that might want to work with me. I have a lead tracker, again, systems. I have a lead tracker that says exactly who I need to follow up with, in what order, on what day, what to say, et cetera. I call this like back brain. I don't have to do that much thinking. It's a habit. I just do the same thing every single day until it becomes not thoughtless, but easy, not like super brain intensive, not super stressful on the brain. So what I try to get female entrepreneurs to do if they're trying to tackle lead generation themselves is build it into a morning routine. That does not mean that we supplant meditation with talking to leads in the direct messages. It does mean that we prioritize our business and helping people and helping new people by having those conversations on a regular basis. My tact tangible goal would be strive to have three conversations at least 3 or 4 days a week for your work week. Some of us might work 3 days or 4 days or 5 days or 7 days, however many it may be, but most of your work days, I would strive to have three conversations with potential clients. And so I build that into my morning routine, and that's what I try to educate to others, is that after you finish your self-care, your spiritual, your movement, your next step is to build this into your routine until it becomes an integral part. So usually that means that 30 minutes a day, you're talking to at least 3 to 5 people, 30 minutes each business day, each day that you're working. So that's what I try to strive for them to do, because most people facing trying to make sales just are using every ADHD ism that there is. We're just all over the place. People are in and out of different platforms at the same time. They don't have a time of day that they do it. They don't know who to talk to first. They don't know what to say. They're not tracking the conversation. So, like, I could tell Jessica today, like, hey, let's book a follow-up call, tomorrow, or let's book a follow-up call and touch base on February 7th. If I don't write it down, I'm not going to remember, period. And that's how I see a large majority of female entrepreneurs like operating their business. And this is a good note too. I see a lot of female entrepreneurs operating their business out of their head. And you have a whole lot of work going on in there, when really, if you would take that shit out of your mind and put it into systems that work for you, for your mental health, for your ADHD, You're not gonna miss things or not as many things. I have a client come to me. So we do done for you lead generation and we do lead generation coaching. So I had a client come to me that forgot that she'd booked 123 calls in the last year and hadn't followed up with a single lead. She was just busy. So if we use these systems, like if you first of all, commit to building the habit. If you commit that I said I'd do it, I'm going to put 30 minutes each workday into having three conversations because I promised myself I would do it. And also, I'm showing up to be there for the people that I could help in the future. There's just no good freaking excuses to get out of that. There's not a great excuse for, like, I was supposed to help other people, but like, I'd rather watch Gilmore Girls. Like, it doesn't last for too long. That excuse can't be valid forever. But if we commit to having those conversations and showing up to support people, then we build it into a habit. I like morning and then late afternoon, but this could be any time in your day. If you build in 30 minutes to your day into a block into your calendar to have conversations on Instagram or emails or LinkedIn or Entreprenista or Visionaries, to mention our lovely Adrian. If we build that time in, and then if we make a Google Sheet, a lead tracker to track them, those three things will help our fancy ADHD brain so much with sales. So to recap, you want to commit to building the habit of talking to people and having those lead conversations, three per day each weekday, or sorry, each business day that you're working. And then you want to take one 30-minute chunk for each of those work days and put it on your calendar. And then once you have those conversations, we want to track them in a Google Sheet. I would track, and I think there'll probably be a transcript of this, but I would track their name. I would track when you last talked to them, when to follow up, and any notes on the conversation. And I mean, these systems have, yes, made me a gargantuan amount of money, but really, truly, and I'm telling the absolute truth, it makes me work less. Like, I love making more money and being able to use it ethically for my family and my community. I love making more money and not having so much stress on my brain so I can go to sleep at night, ideally.
Yeah, that's such an important part of what you were saying about habits. Not only do they build self-trust, because when we commit to doing something and follow through on it, we're keeping that promise to ourselves, which reteaches our brain something that many fancy brains have lost, which is the ability to believe that we can do the thing we said we would do. But also, making it automatic just reduces that cognitive load so much. Once it becomes so ingrained that you don't have to put so much thought energy into it, things can really change and start picking up right away.
I remember that was such a big part for me in early recovery and thus also early ADHD diagnosis. So my first full year sober was 2023. And I got diagnosed that year too, towards the beginning of the year, closer to my birthday. But that first year, I remember continually telling my therapist, I just feel like I keep making promises I can't keep. And I had a really great team member, actually, that she's an operations manager. She's lovely. She's pivoted to different, things she was doing, I believe. But I had an incredible operations manager that told me, like, hey, stop making deadlines that no one asked for. You don't tell Jessica I'll follow up with you tomorrow by 3 o'clock. Tell Jessica I'll follow up soon. Then you're not going to feel bad for making a self-imposed deadline that you probably couldn't really keep. But that was something that I really struggled with when I was first diagnosed with ADHD is I want to do all these things. I truly have the best intentions, but I don't know what to prioritize. I don't know how long it will take. I don't know if I'll have the motivation and energy to do it. What if it's a multi-part task? Am I going to be able to sustain that energy and motivation and consistency? So that was a huge, huge thing for me to learn and practice was learning how to get shit done. I have that book downstairs too, Get Shit Done.
That's a good one.
I was just talking to somebody about it. That's my next productivity read. But learning how to get shit done and then holding yourself freaking accountable for it. Like, I really trust myself because I do what I say for myself. And there are people that want to let me off the hook sometimes. And most of the time now, I don't let myself off the hook because I promised myself. And if I want to like keep trust with myself that I can keep doing big, beautiful things, then I have to do the tiny things like do the damn dishes twice in a day when I really don't want to. I
Yeah.
hate the dishes. I just hate the dishes. But there's a really good ADHD group, and I'm trying to remember the name of it, and I can share it if it's still active with you all. There is a really funny guy on there that created a community for ADHD people in recovery. And he
Oh.
said that he would like body double and do the dishes while dancing. So he would positivize tasks that he hated with ADHD and use like the dopamine reward system.
Yeah.
I think that's the name of the group, actually. It's like Dopamine Club or something. So I'll find it. But it was a great ADHD support group, a lot of fun, and people have all sorts of crazy ADHD hacks that make us feel less wild up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tricky balance, I think, between holding myself accountable for this thing that I said I would do, but also being gentle enough with myself not to, kick my own ass, basically, and make myself feel worse than necessary.
Yep.
It's really tricky territory, along with finding the balance between setting a habit, aiming to set a habit, and keeping enough consistency there to actually form it.
Yeah.
For example, a lot of people will come to me and say, there's this habit that I want to create. Let's say it's working out, it's going to the gym, but I just can't seem to stick to it. And it's not enough for people with ADHD to say to them, well, you just have to do it. You made a promise to yourself. You just have to stick to it. What would you say to somebody in that kind of position where there's this thing they want to do, and yet it's really hard, and they keep shaming themselves for not making it?
Yeah, for me at least, we have to start with I'm always inflating my capacity. I always wish there was, I wish I could get more done, but I don't actually want to work harder to do it past what I'm able to do.
Yeah.
I cut like two or three tasks each day off my to-do list that I'm like, I know that I'll have a surplus that I can't do, and I just have to rebump and reprioritize. I'll also say, because it speaks to this conversation, like there's lots of differing opinions and it depends on what works for you, but I do my morning routine and treat myself and take care of myself. Then I do the hardest thing first. I do emails and DMs, but my first couple of focused hours of work is mostly shit I don't want to do. But then it's done. So then the rest of the day, it's all downhill from there. So for working out specifically, because it's such a good example, especially for January or when this does air, everybody, we always want to be healthier, right? We're Americans. We could all use to be a little bit healthier. So one that I read actually in Miracle Morning, I really like these days, if I'm thinking seven things at once, I really like visual cues. And I've gotten my family doing it. Two, I've gotten them to like, okay, so these things need to go out the door with me. I'm gonna put them in front of the door. Sounds so obvious, but it's worked for us even better than a checklist, which can be more mental energy to check them off. Like, it's there, pick it up, and then you go out the door with it. For working out, that can be as simple as like when I put my shoes in front of the coffee maker. something like that. Like, I know I get to get my coffee and then I have to take myself to the gym. But yeah, that was like the visual cues piece and prepping ahead of time to reestablish your commitment to doing it is super helpful. The other thing, like, I would not be working out right now because it's been gray for like 6 weeks. I would not be working out right now if it weren't for my mom. And to have an accountability buddy that if they're going to go to the gym, if they're going to help you, co-work to get done hard tasks, anybody that can keep you, focused and talk out your wild ADHD thoughts with you is super, super helpful. But yeah, I think it starts with commitment and then finding accountability for whatever way works for you. You can also do, I like doing it with my mom. She holds me accountable. My mom is not going to let me out of anything. So I like doing it with her. You can also use like the dopamine reward system. It's like if you go work out, maybe you get a cupcake later that night. That makes total sense to me. That's what we do, is he runs 5 miles and I like walk 1 mile, and then because of that we get like fancy pastries from the bakery, like fancy cookies. So the dopamine like reward system works for children and works for me too.
I sometimes tell people we have to treat our brains like toddlers sometimes.
Pretty much, yeah, especially when they're exhausted. Like, we don't want everything to feel hard, obviously. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you've got so much worked out already, and so many terrific self-management mechanisms. What remains a continuing challenge for you with ADHD, whether it's at home or at work or just in your own mind?
That's a tough one. I think just like easy getting distracted. I mean, really, it's very similar to what you said. I struggle between holding myself accountable and giving myself grace for different tasks that I'm doing, and can be too meta. There's already so many thoughts in my head, and then this is like, if you've ever listened to Headspace, they have great meditations on this. There's this guy on there, and I can't remember this facilitator's name, but he's lovely. And he talks about if you're anxious or overthinking, you have the thought, and then you think about that thought, and then you think about thinking about the thought. We start thinking about even that sentence I said, it's just like a cluster F up in there. So I think like the struggle between staying focused, but also giving myself grace is just a forever, forever challenge. And I adjust my medication and I ch adjust how I'm going to take breaks. And I don't know. I do think that ADHD is a superpower. I think that people with ADHD, myself included, have the luxury of trying to understand the way our mind works and how we perceive the world in a way that really isn't common knowledge to the general public. Like, why do we react to things the way we do? Why do we feel this way at different times of day? Why is it easy for me to do the dishes in the morning, but seems like hell if I have to do it past 5 o'clock? The damn dishes, they're down there again. But I think ADHD, like the diagnosis of it and managing it, can be really incredible if we try to find the positives, and there's a lot, but we have so much knowledge that isn't really offered to people without it if you go and look for it.
That's true. And there's so much established science already, although most of it is on young boys. The
I know.
research for adult women is growing, and there's a ton of emerging research about exactly what you said, why we think the way that we do and how those thought processes work together. It's fascinating and
Yeah,
encouraging to see.
it is. I'm so glad that you're here and doing the work you do and doing this podcast too, because I don't think it's easily accessible for people to find. And I think we talked about earlier, or maybe on a call we had earlier today, that there's a lot of one top productivity hack for ADHD people, and it just only touches the surface of what we really go through. There's also a whole lot of like mockery around ADHD. I mean, my brother was diagnosed with ADHD. He was like 8 years old, but half of my fraternal, half of my family didn't believe it. So they just wouldn't medicate him, like wouldn't treat him and put him, like she would put him on a medication, he would take her him off a medication. Like it was just really challenging. So even back then, like the public opinion of it, I don't know, like 28 years ago was skeptical. And then now, as female entrepreneurs dealing with it, I think there's still a whole lot of, is this real or not? Even though we know it is. But as a woman and as someone who has bipolar 2 and who has ADHD, I mean, there's things that you don't want to say to a woman. And one of them is, this is all in your head, which
Oh, man.
ironically, it is all in our head, though. It's coming from, but that doesn't mean it's all in our head, like it isn't real. There are things going on in our head, but it's very real. And I think providing the education and support and stories that you are is incredibly empowering and beneficial to your audience.
Thank you. I hope so. That's the whole goal, to shine a light on everything, the good, the bad, the in between, and try to take down some of that shame and stigma that has built up over the years.
Yes. Yeah.
So, as we wrap up, what would you love to say to business owners out there who have ADHD? What do you want them to know about themselves?
I want you guys to know that if you take advantage of dealing with this, that you can unlock awareness that others don't have, and that, you know, the benefit to the ADHD is that there's a lot of energy and inspiration and motivation and supreme intelligence in there. If we can find a way how to take all of what's in your head and channel it into what you want to do in the world, I mean, really, I think we have a leg up. You've got a lot going for you. We just have to figure out how to make it work the best for you. So I'm excited for you guys, and I'm so glad that you know Jessica and get to listen to her. And can I say too, as a side note, as a business owner, you're an incredible podcast interviewer. So I'm very impressed. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Course. Thank you for having me.
Well, I really appreciate your sharing with such transparency and vulnerability, and not to mention all the great practical tips and business savvy that you have brought to us today. I just know stories like yours are helping other women know that they're not alone in this, and that it really is, it's okay to talk about it. It's a good
Definitely
thing.
okay to talk about it. Yeah, I get a lot of messages from people like, do you think I have ADHD? I am highly unqualified to give any feedback on that. All I can do is share my story.
That's
But
right.
anybody who's curious about it, I would talk to somebody. We have so many resources now, like Talkspace, et cetera. I mean, even I think you can see somebody for it for a couple hundred dollars. But if you don't know yet and you're curious, I would seek out support for it. And yeah, I get lots of people asking me questions about ADHD. I talk just as transparently on my Instagram, on social media, as I do on this podcast. So anybody who wants to talk about ADHD or business or anything at all can come and message me. And I know Jessica's going to share the link too.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because there are folks out there who are going to want to know about scaling businesses and done for you social. So, for those who are listening, please tell us how they can reach you, and we'll drop it in the show notes too.
Yeah, you and same, you guys can check out my website. That is my full name. It's alyssamoorhead.com. And then on Instagram, same thing, my full name, but it has my middle initial in the middle. So it's Alyssa L, like Lucy. Alyssa L Moorhead is in the middle, even though that's not my middle name. It's Lauren. I don't know why. I liked Lucy better though, but you guys can come and message me. As of January 2026, we now have an offer running for lead generation where we've reduced the price. So if anybody wants to check it out, you can come and chat with us. But yes, if you're looking to scale your agency or group program, Happy to answer questions about leads, happy to talk about how we can support you getting leads. I've done this for 10 years and found a way to make it work for me so I can help lots of people. So if you need help with scaling your business or figuring out, your fancy brain and what limited expertise I can share my story, feel free to message me.
Fantastic. Alyssa, thank you again so much. It's really been
Thank
great.
you. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Jessica.
It's time for your lab kit. Three ideas from this episode that you can try in your own life. First up, willpower is the wrong tool to use. That's because ADHD plus just about anything, running a business, running a household, or anything, can't run on discipline alone. So the experiment here is to build yourself some external systems and play around with them. Things like writing it down, tracking it, automating everything you possibly can, sharing it, getting some accountability. That's because ADHD brains are not built for storage. We're built for generation. Second, design your time for low motivation days. Because if you have a plan that only works when you feel good, it's not a plan at all. We can't always wait around to feel good, and motivation never comes first. It only follows action. So the experiment here is to create a bare minimum list. And we talked in this episode a lot about business, but this really could apply to anything. The bare minimum list would include one outreach, one follow-up, and one action task, something that actually moves the needle toward your goal or makes the money in your business. And remember here that persistence beats intensity. The third is that shame is just fuel for burnout. Untreated ADHD often hides inside addiction and overwork. Sometimes that's true even when we have treatment. The experiment here is to replace the phrase, "What's wrong with me?" or "Why can't I just fill in the blank?" Replace that with, "What system failed me?" It takes the failure out of the person and puts it into the external. And that reframe changes everything. This is your ADHD Alchemy Lab Kit for this episode. I hope you'll pick one experiment and let me know how it goes. Thanks for listening to the ADHD Alchemy Podcast. If this episode had you nodding along and thinking, "Yeah, that's me," make sure you're subscribed and consider sharing it with another woman who might feel a little more seen and a little less alone because of it. Together, we are rewriting the ADHD shame story into one of strength. I'll see you next time.